Answers Magazine, Volume 14.2, page 19. Science in Perspective, Quick Takes. How Elephants Lost Their Tusks. Researchers were surprised to learn that more female African elephants are being born without tusks in places troubled by poaching or civil war. Normally, only about 2 to 4% of female African elephants are born without tusks, but in heavily poached areas, the frequency is now as high as 32%. Poachers usually target male elephants because their tusks are larger, but when the male population dwindles, they go after older females. War worsens poaching because tusks can be sold for weapons and elephant meat can feed troops. In just one possible explanation, researchers propose the elephants are evolving to be tuskless for protection. But to be clear, tusklessness is merely selection from pre-existing traits that gives tuskless elephants a survival advantage. Whether the changes in the population are caused by simple heredity or some other genetic mechanism, nothing new is being added to the species. The tusklessness isn't an example of upward evolution. In such an environment, tuskless elephants have a survival advantage, and tuskless survivors may pass the trait on to their offspring. It might be an example of how God has instituted systems to enable his creatures to adapt to changing situations, even when humans fail to be good stewards. However, since tusklessness among males, which are most affected by poaching, is almost non-existent, neither evolutionist or creationist researchers are sure why mothers don't pass down tusklessness to their male offspring.
As the bird flies, willow warblers hold the long-distance migration record for their size. These tiny 0.4-ounce, or 10-gram, birds migrate more than 8,000 miles, 13,000 kilometers, from eastern Siberia to Kenya and Tanzania in Africa. After attaching data recorders to the warblers, researchers speculated that the birds apparently navigate by using the Earth's magnetic field and tracking the sun, accounting for the sun's shifting position over the long migration route. Their surprisingly complex navigational abilities showcase the Creator's ingenious design. But the willow warbler also holds a lesson for Christians about trusting God's word. Those who have a hard time believing Noah's flood was worldwide are forced to believe it was a local event. But then, why couldn't the animals just leave the area instead of getting on a ship? Especially if a bird that weighs less than a few paper clips can travel more than 8,000 miles. Our Creator is trustworthy, and His word is true, including when He tells us He created everything in 6 days and flooded the entire earth because of sin.
Star formation challenged again. Evolutionists' explanation for how planets form was challenged yet again when researchers discovered a young star orbited by four Jupiter-like gas giants, a large planet made mostly of hydrogen and helium. This is the first time so many massive planets have been detected in such a young system. According to assumptions behind planetary evolution, gas giants are supposed to form far from their stars and require millions of years. However, this star is supposedly only 2 million years old. Further complicating the picture, one of the gas giants is a hot Jupiter, much closer to the star, thus hotter, than gas giants can form according to current evolutionary models. Hot Jupiters are turning up all over the galaxy, so astronomers have adjusted their models to account for them. Their most popular explanation so far is that hot Jupiters form far from the star and migrate toward the star over hundreds of millions of years. That idea doesn't work, however, with a 2-million-year-old star. So, it's back to square one in the search for a creator-free model of planet formation that explains what we observe in the real universe. But astronomers would have the answer for the existence of such strange solar systems if they would just explore one more possibility. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and the stars. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 16.
A 100 billion microcomputers in your head. Neuroscientists at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, have discovered that human brain cells have very different electrical properties from those of other creatures. Both human and animal brains have six layers of tree-like nerve cells called neurons. The branches of the neuron trees, called dendrites, are what have the different properties. Because the outer layer of nerve tissue is much thicker in humans than in animals, human dendrites need to be much longer to communicate through this tissue. Dendrites rely on sodium channels to carry electricity, but surprisingly, the longer dendrites aren't equipped with additional channels. In fact, electrical signals don't travel as far along a human dendrite as they do along a rat dendrite. At first, that sounds bad. But what makes us unique is that human dendrites have to decide when to boost the signal to send it further. All those opportunities to boost signals along each dendrite equals more computing power. In other words, researchers are now saying your brain is like billions of microcomputers all working together. Researchers are just beginning to understand all the differences between human and animal neurons and how they affect our much greater computing ability. Animal brains testify to the incredible power and intelligence of our designer. But the human brain is a quantum leap beyond. The more we discover, the more mind-blowing God's creative work appears.
Sometimes a rock is just a rock. Scientists are now suggesting that what they once thought to be the world's oldest fossils may just be deformed rocks. That may sound like a cautionary tale about jumping to conclusions based on evolutionary evidence, but it's more complicated than that. Scientists originally thought the rocks in question were the oldest yet discovered stromatolites, fossilized mats of microbes sandwiched between fine layers of sediment. When they found these examples in a Greenland rock in 2016, the specimens were dated at 3.7 billion years, earlier than their evolutionary models allowed. But the researchers were willing to reconsider, based on the new fossils. Now it appears that due to subsequent research on the same rocks by other scientists, the original researchers may have been wrong, and these are just deformed, discolored rocks that only resemble known bacterial fossils. However, the original researchers still stand by their claim, pointing to other features that are characteristic of known fossil stromatolites found elsewhere. Stay tuned for this debate to continue. This is a reminder how uncertain our interpretations of evidence can be. Even evolutionists admit we should consider evidence carefully and humbly, and not be quick to jump to conclusions. They are open to refining their views by a few million years here and there. Yet the physical evidence won't cause them to reject their overall view of history over billions of years, which they accept by faith.
Same-sex babies. Scientific American recently heralded, "Same-sex mice parents give birth to healthy brood." Chinese researchers succeeded in producing healthy offspring by combining egg cells from two female mice, with no male mouse involved. The procedure produced 29 live births out of 210 embryos, about a 14% success rate. Same-sex birth? The headline is misleading. This was no simple birth, or even remotely natural. It was an arduous procedure, overseen by inventive scientists. A technical tour de force, as one researcher described it. It involved heavily manipulating egg cells and editing their genes just to achieve a 1-in-7 success rate. Accomplishing the same thing with humans is far from reality, if ever. For the moment, scientists are purportedly answering basic scientific questions about genetics and reproduction. It seems obvious, however, that an underlying agenda is less interested in understanding natural processes and more interested in seeing if, someday, same-sex human couples can have children genetically related to both parents. However skillfully executed and glowingly reported, this is rebellion against God's basic design. Just because we can manipulate nature to our own ends doesn't mean we should, especially when that manipulation violates God's clear commands. In Genesis and throughout the rest of His Word, the Creator has told us His plan for families and for healthy children. Genesis chapter 9, verse 7. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. Same-sex marriage and parenting is directly contrary to God's clear design.
Not your average mouse. In the days of the dinosaurs, mammals and mammal-like creatures were generally small and mousy. They stayed out of King Lizard's way. Then a comet slammed into the Earth, ending the huge beast's reign. The age of the mammals had begun, and furry no longer meant little, as giant sloths, cave bears, and woolly mammoths took center stage. So goes the evolutionary story. But now, an elephant-sized synapsid has been excavated from a Polish clay pit in an upper Triassic zone, layers previously known only to contain much smaller early mammal cousins. Lysoischia bojani, as the describers named it, looks something like a cross between a rhino and a turtle, and it weighed about 9 tons. One paleontologist asked in shocked delight, "Who would have ever thought that there were giant elephant-sized mammal cousins living alongside some of the very first dinosaurs? Who indeed?" While this find forces naturalists to readjust certain aspects of their evolutionary model, biblical creationists simply see it as another intriguing example of life's diversity before the flood. Non-mammalian synapsids are unknown today, but their fossils are found in flood deposits. What happened to them? Were they never able to gain a foothold in the alien post-flood landscape? In the search to solve this mystery, creationists exclude the idea that these non-mammalian synapsid lineages evolved into mammals. Such a degree of change is beyond the pale of speciation within a kind, requiring one kind of animal to change into a completely different kind. Instead, we know from Genesis that God created organisms as distinct kinds in the beginning.
A new branch on the tree of life. A Canadian graduate student has discovered a life form so different from everything else that it doesn't fit into the plant, animal, or other known kingdoms. While she was hiking outside Halifax, Canada, Yana Iglet scooped some dirt into sample vials she happened to be carrying because, well, that's what graduate students do. When she examined the samples later in the lab, Iglet realized she had hit pay dirt. She had collected some very rare single-celled organisms called hemimastigotes. These creatures were first described in the 1800s, but because they are so rare, microbiologists have had few opportunities to examine them. Iglet notified another grad student, Gordon Lax, who specialized in genetic analysis of individual microbes. They learned that hemimastigotes differ as much from all other creatures as animals and fungi differ from each other. They are eukaryotes, which means that, like animals and fungi, they have complex cells with organelles and a nucleus, but that's about as far as the similarities go. Below the domain level, they're in a supra-kingdom of their own. Iglet and Lax have figured out how to nurture hemimastigotes in the lab, so now their rarity should no longer make studying them difficult. Evolutionary biologists hope to put together more pieces of supposed evolutionary history with these new details. Creationist biologists, on the other hand, see them as examples of God's boundless creativity that made so many different kinds of unrelated organisms. Just when we think we might have seen the limits of God's design, we find something new.